mentioned something about last week. I must again mention that there are some confessors who seem to be true spiritual fathers, only as long as things go well. When the soul finds itself in greater need, they become perplexed and either cannot or will not understand the soul. They try to get rid of the person as soon as possible. But if the soul is humble, it will always profit in some little way or other. God Himself will sometimes cast a shaft of light into the depths of the soul because of its humility and faith. That means to say, even the spiritual director can understand the soul, but with kind of disposition, humility, humbleness, listening, you got something. Although the priest couldn't understand you at all, but the Holy Spirit still worked there. Of course, the priest doesn't want to listen anymore because he has not prepared or no gift, no such gift for these things. But no matter, God will work in between. The confessor will sometimes say something he had never intended to say without even realizing it himself. So sometimes the Holy Spirit works. He might not don't know what to answer you, but he give you the answer. Oh, let the soul believe that such words are the words of the Lord Himself. Though indeed, we ought to believe that every word spoken in the confessional is God's. What I have referred to above is something that comes directly from God. And the soul perceive that the priest is not master of himself, and he is saying something that he would rather not say. This is how God rewards faith. So you need to have faith, humility. Even people understand, you get something. If you're proud, not listening, even the gift of God, the light of God there, you won't get it. It's so important. Disposition, humility. I have experienced this many times myself. A certain very learned and respected priest, to whom I sometimes happened to go to confession, was always severe and opposed to these matters, quote, which I brought up to him. But on one occasion, he replied to me, "Bear in mind, sister, that if God is asking this of you, you should not oppose Him. God sometimes wants to be praised in just this way. Be at peace. What God has started, He will finish. But I say this to you, faithfulness to God and humility." And once again, humility. "Bear well in mind what I have told you today." I was delighted, and I thought that perhaps this priest had understood me. But it so turned out that I never went to confession to him again. So even though he is not the right type to listen to her confession, he gave her the right answer, you see. Once, one of the older mothers summoned me, and it was as if fiery bolts from the blue were coming down upon my head, so much so that I could not even discover what it was all about. But after a while, I understood that it was but a matter over which I had no control whatsoever. She said to me, "Get it out of your head, sister, that the Lord Jesus may be communing in such an intimate way with such a miserable burden of imperfections as you. Bear in mind that it is only with holy souls that the Lord Jesus communes in this way." Despising them, that means you're not holy. You're not worthy to have Jesus with you. The superior says, I lodge that she was right, because I am indeed a wretched person, but still I trust in God's mercy. when I met the Lord, I humbled myself and said, Jesus, it seems that you do not associate intimately with such wretched person as I. She complained. I'm not worthy. Why you come to me? And the people all say that you're not worthy. Jesus said, be at peace, my daughter. It is precisely through such misery that I want to show the power of my mercy. Just because you're not worthy, I come to you. So don't presume that you're perfect and then God come to you. God invites all sinners, all unworthy people to come to him. Many are called, few are chosen. The few is not worthy. But be humble, humility, that's the difference. What is great before men is little before God. Oh my Jesus, you have tested me so many times in this short life of mine. I've come to understand so many times that even such that now amaze me. Oh, how good it is to abandon oneself totally to God and to give him full freedom to act in one's soul. So you can't do anything, just like God works. Not under her control, not under our control. Whatever God given you is not because you're a great saint or anything. Just because you are nothing that God comes to you. During the third probation, the Lord gave me to understand that I should offer myself to him so that he could do with me as he pleased. I was to remain standing before him as a victim offering. At first, I was quite frightened, as I felt myself to be so utterly miserable and knew very well that this was the case. I answered the Lord once again, I am misery itself. How can I be hostage? And the word from the Lord, you do not understand this today. Tomorrow, during your adoration, I will make it known to you. I trembled, as did my soul. So deeply did these words sink into my soul. The word of God is living. When it came to the adoration, I felt within my soul that I had entered the temple of the living God, whose majesty is great and incomprehensible. And he made known to me that even the purest spirits are in his sight. Although I saw nothing externally, God's presence pervaded me. At that very moment, my intellect was strangely illumined. A vision passed before the eyes of my soul. It was like the vision Jesus had in the Garden of Olives. First, the physical sufferings and all the circumstances that would increase them. Then, the full scope of the spiritual sufferings and those that no one would know about. Everything entered into the vision. False suspicions, loss of good name. I have summarized it here, but this knowledge was already so clear that what I went through later on was in no way different from what I had known at that moment. My name is to be sacrifice. So all the illuminations, you have to pay the price. Well, it's not because you have to pay the price, but you have to live as a victim soul. You have to be the sacrifice. Nothing else. Stranger. We yearn for the peace, for joy, for light, for wisdom. At the back, you be on the cross. Forgiving, yearning only for the Lord, and no understanding from other people. You have to hang by yourself. It's not a price, but that's the status of the soul that can have the peace of the Lord. We look only for goodness, sweetness. We don't want to look at sorrowful things. That's the difference, right? So we are all invited to live this spiritual life. You have so many sufferings in life. Thank the Lord. So much so that you are the dearest daughter of the Lord. Because you're humble, you offer your sacrifice, there will be light. You're miserable? Yes, sure. But that's the beauty of our calling. When the vision ended, a cold sweat bathed my forehead. This is making known to me that even if I did not give my consent to this, I could still be saved. And he would not lessen his graces, but would still continue to have the same intimate relationship with me, so that even if I did not consent to make this sacrifice, God's generosity would not lessen thereby. So maybe we are afraid not to take this cross, but still Jesus console us. Don't worry, I'm still with you. Not because you don't take your cross and then I go away, but so much better and to be together with Jesus, because you offer for the world. You are not living for yourself. You forgot about this. You're just living for, oh, I'm okay. It's not yet okay. Even one person in the world not okay, you're not okay, because you have the heart of Jesus, right? Big, eh? Big things in a small soul. It's beautiful. And the Lord gave me to know that the whole mystery depended on me, on my free consent to the sacrifice, given me full use of my faculties. In this free and conscious act lies the whole power and value before Him, before His Majesty. Even if none of these things for which I offered myself would ever happen to me, before the Lord, everything was as though it had already been consummated. You say yes, even though you never experienced that suffering, Jesus accepted because you have this good intention. Beautiful. Good intention is also important. At that moment, I realized I was entering into communion with the incomprehensible majesty. I felt that God was waiting for my word, for my consent. Then my spirit immersed itself in the Lord, and I said, "Do with me as you please. I subject myself to your will. As of today, your holy will shall be my nourishment, and I will be faithful to your commands. With the help of your grace, do with me as you please. I beg you, Lord, be with me at every moment of my life. By hook or by crook, say yes." Of course, not all the time you're hanging on the cross, sometimes, a little bit. But you'll be joyful, open. Certainly, when I had consented to the sacrifice with all my heart and all my will, God's presence pervaded me. My soul became immersed in God and was inundated with such happiness that I cannot put in writing even the smallest part of it. I felt that His Majesty was enveloping me. I was extraordinarily filled with God. I saw that God was well pleased with me, and reciprocally, my spirit drowned itself in Him. Aware of this union with God, I felt I was passionately loved, and in turn, I loved with all my soul. First, you have to say yes, and then God's presence. And then you say, "Thank you, Lord." A great mystery took place during that adoration. A mystery between the Lord and myself. It seemed to me that I would die of love. his cleanse, at the sale of his cleanse. I spoke much with the Lord after uttering a single word. You know, you talk to the Lord not with words, with the heart. And the Lord said to me, "You are the delight of my heart. From today on, every one of your acts, even the very smallest, will be a delight to my eyes. Whatever you do." At that moment, I felt trans-consecrated. My earthly body was the same, but my soul was different. God was now living in it with the totality of his delights. This is not a feeling, but a conscious reality that nothing can obscure. You know, body and soul. Body remain the same, but soul transformed. You won't have this experience? Yes or no? You want? Of course you can. You want. Otherwise you won't come here this morning. You come because you want, you're yearning for the Lord. So Jesus is there. And Jesus said, he's saying to you too. Maybe you're looking for so many other things. Only thing that you don't have the special, be the secretary of the divine mercy of the Lord. She's special. She's a secretary. But otherwise, whatever. Promote divine mercy. First of all, you trust. And help people. Those who trust, pray for them. Helping them. Holding their hand. Walk together. Don't be afraid. You know this word from Jesus in the gospel 365 times. Don't be afraid, this word. They calculate all four gospels. That means one day one word of God is don't be afraid. So we have to be courageous. Go ahead. A great mystery has been accomplished between God and me. Courage and strength have remained in my soul. When the time of adoration came to an end, I came out and calmly faced everything I'd feared so much before. When I came out into the corridor, a great suffering and humiliation at hands of a certain person who was awaiting me. I accepted it with submission to a higher will and snuggled closely to the most sacred heart of Jesus, letting him know that I was ready for that for which I had offered myself. Suffering seemed to spring out of the ground. Even Mother Margaret herself was surprised. For others, many things passed unnoticed. For indeed, it wasn't worth paying any attention to them. But in my case, nothing passed unnoticed. Each word was analyzed, each step watched. Like Jesus on earth, whatever he said, recorded. You know, not with good intention. So whatever she did, people, the sisters are watching her with bad intention. You can imagine, wherever you go, their eye will trust, despising all you do. You are angry, of course, but Faustina, thank you, Lord. When you don't feel by that time, you don't feel the peace, and you have to live the peace, it's very difficult. One sister said to me, "Get ready, sister, to receive a small cross at the hands of Mother Superior. I feel sorry for you." But as for me, I rejoice at this in the depths of my soul and have been ready for it for a long time. When she saw my courage, she was surprised. I see now that the soul cannot too much of itself, but with God, He can do all things. Behold what God's grace can do. Few are the souls that are always watchful for divine graces. Even fewer of such souls who follow those inspirations faithfully. Still, a soul which is faithful to God cannot confirm its own inspirations. It must submit them to the control of a very wise and learned priest. So when you have special inspiration from the Lord, don't take it at once and as if you are well inspired. Share with the priest in the confession of confessor. Lose it, first of all. Humility is important. So today many people, as if they have all the inspiration from the Lord and telling people you should do this and you are da-da-da-da-da-da. First of all, ask her, did you talk with the confessor? You say, no, this is mine. No, be careful. That's Faustina. Although so sure, Jesus present to her, appeared to her, still she have to submit everything, not possessed by herself. If it is given of God, it belongs to the church, but belongs to you. That's good criteria. It must submit them to the control of a very wise and learned priest. And until it is quite certain, it should remain distrustful. So even though she said there may be some big inspirations, if the priest not content, not happy, she won't take it serious. It should not, on its own, initiative alone, put its trust in these inspirations and all other higher graces, because it can thus expose itself to great losses. So if you're inspired by God, share it with a priest, ready to lose. If it's really the inspiration of the Lord, it will remain. Even though a soul may immediately distinguish between false inspiration and those of God, it should nevertheless be careful, because many things are uncertain. God is pleased and rejoices when a soul distrusts Him for His own sake. Because it loves Him, it is prudent and itself asks and searches for help to make certain that it is really God who is acting within it. And once a well-instructed confessor had confirmed this, the soul should be at peace and give itself up to God according to His directions. That is, according to the directions of the confessor. So it happened once. Even you, I think I shared with you once the lady, the Canadian lady, Lydia Barnes. She had inspiration. Sometimes at night, God appeared in the prayer time. Jesus appeared to her. So many times he write down what the message is. Once he write down, and then offer, and becomes something is burning. Then you find out sometimes the devil can disguise as God, as Jesus appear to her. So every time when he at this inspiration, he got it. Offer it. If it's still there, the paper is there, it's true, it's God's inspiration. If not, God kept her to say this is not. You see, the devil can disguise many figures, appear to us, telling us to something, might be not bad, but something not even queer. But if it's not God's will, there's something in between is not tasty, a peace, something there. Sometimes the devil is just create annoyance in us without peace. So the best thing, assure it, open humility. You see, you share with the priest, you search your humility. This is my possession. Why have to share with a priest? But you lose it, you will be a certain. Okay, how beautiful. Day. Even one word is good enough to live the whole day. Humility, humility, humility.